Good morning. I can't believe that in 1 week we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It just seems like it has come so quickly, and I'm so excited that, you know, because I understand and I know, and I hope you get excited as I do, that Easter is like no other day, you know, in any other day of the week. And we want to honor God and to have an experience, really, that people can come to and encounter God. And so I want to encourage you, as you kind of step into this Holy Week, begin to ask God to prepare your heart for this Easter celebration, and ask God to lay on your heart or to put people in your path so that you can invite them to our Easter celebration, so they can experience the very presence of God and have an encounter with Him next week. And I just pray that you would do that, and we would fill this place up. And we'll have the other side, Little Rock, as overflow as well. Just a great day of celebrating our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So begin to ask God to just lay on your heart people that you can invite and bring along with you next Sunday. We're going to be finishing a series that we've been in for the last several weeks called 7 Days. Next week it'll be His resurrection. And here's why we've chosen this, because I think a big part of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are on the last 7 days of Jesus' life. And it makes sense, because He came into that week knowing that He was going to die, right? And so His priorities were really focused. And so the first week we talked about His passion. The passion that He had for His Lord, the passion that He expressed through His life, to be willing to walk to the cross and to die on the cross for us. And He just encouraged us for us to have that same kind of passion, and just encourage us that the passion, that our zeal for God would just begin to consume us. And then the next week we talked about His Spirit. Those last days in those last hours, really, chapters 14, 15, and 16 in John, He just talked about His Holy Spirit and how He was going away, but He was going to send His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit, at the moment of salvation, comes into our lives, and He comforts us, and He guides us, and He directs us, and He empowers us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people around us. And then last week, Mitchell shared with us the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and he talked about His humility, and how He calls us that same type of humility to really begin to think less of ourselves. Not necessarily think less of ourselves, but to think of ourselves less and really begin to have Jesus increase in our lives so that we can decrease and be people of humility. Well, today we're going to talk about the last event, really, before He went to the cross, before Jesus went to the cross. And the disciples and all the Jewish people were celebrating and observing the annual feast of Passover. And they began to celebrate the Passover meal. You remember, I've talked to you about it before, the story of Moses and the people of Israel. They were under captivity to Egypt, and God brought these plagues in to encourage Pharaoh to let His people go. And that last plague was the death of the first son, and it was the death angel. And whoever... The Jewish people were told to put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost of their home, and whoever had the blood of the lamb over their doorpost, the death angel would pass over them, would pass over them. And they celebrated that for thousands of years after that event. It was an annual event called the feast, called the Passover feast. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at that today as the disciples gathered there in the upper room with Jesus and observe the Passover. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And we'll start with verse 7. It says, "Then the day came of unleavened bread." And just to kind of clarify that a little bit, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread kind of started the day after Passover. For 7 days, that celebration went on, and so these are kind of coinciding at the same time. And it's the unleavened bread is bread without yeast. It's kind of symbolic of they didn't have time to put yeast in the bread as they were, you know, as God was delivering them from Egypt. And so as they began to celebrate that, it took on the meaning of without sin, you know, without sin. So there's these two feasts into one. It says, the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sanctified. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. And then in verse 14 it says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And I just went through the whole Passover celebration and meal there in that moment. And in the Passover Seder, which just means the order of Passover, the order of events that you would go through in order to tell the story of Exodus. In the Seder, it's lined up where they would actually not just partake of one cup, but they would go through and take of four cups. Matthew and Mark talk about one cup. Luke introduces two cups, but in tradition they go through four cups at the meal. They would begin with one cup, and then a second one, then the meal, then after the meal a third cup, and then actually a fourth cup. And they would go through this order, and throughout they would read Scripture, and mainly they would read Exodus chapter 6. And the Scripture would be broken up into those four cups. So let me just read Exodus 6 this morning. It says this, in verse 6. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. In that passage, there's four I will statements, and over the years as I've studied that, and so many listen to so many talk and preach about that, they use that verse there as the Passover Seder, and the four I wills in that passage represent four cups, and they actually give the cups names. The first cup is the cup of salvation or sanctification. He says, I will bring you out of Egypt, and so they celebrated that God had gotten them out of the city that they were never intended to live in. And it's really a symbol of salvation, that God never wanted them or really us to live in some places. And maybe this morning there's some of you living in Egypt, away from God, right? Away from God, away from the God that created you to be in relationship with Him. And He wants that. He wants to be in relationship with you. And so that's the first cup that they would partake of, celebrating that they were brought out of Egypt. And the next cup was the cup of deliverance, the cup of deliverance. He says, I will free you from slavery. It's different from the first cup. The first cup was just about getting out of the place. And then this second cup is about not only getting out of the city, but also breaking the bondage that they had been put on their lives for the last 400 years, living as slaves and in bondage. Not only will you leave this city, he says, but also I will deliver you from slavery, from bondage. And maybe this morning, some of us here in this room, we get out of the place, right? We get out of the place. We come into a relationship with God, but we are still slaves to some things. And then they would go to the meal portion. And that's why Jesus said after supper he took the cup, and that's the third cup. And that third cup is called the cup of redemption. And redeem means to buy back, to bring something or someone back to its or their original state or purpose. It's kind of like you start here, then you ended up over here, and then he redeems them back to their original place, their original purpose. He gets you out of the place, gets rid of all the junk and the issues and the sins in your life, that have gotten into your heart, and brings you back to your original purpose, which he made you for. And for the Jews, it was to restore them back to his people and him being their God. And then the last cup is my favorite cup. It's the cup of praise. And after four cups, you might, be praising God a little bit more. I don't know. But it's the cup of praise. It's called Hallel. It's from the word hallelujah. And in this celebration, the cup of praise, they would recite, some of the times they would recite Psalms 136. And I'm just going to read it to you. I just love this passage. And I think it's always great to come back to this passage when things are going on in your life, circumstances are happening, that you're wondering where God is at. And you can read this passage and just be reminded that He is there with you and that His love endures forever. So Psalms 136, just we're going to read, I'm just going to read 11 verses. It goes on, but just to kind of give you the sense of the way they would celebrate their God and what He was doing in their lives. And if you want to, you can read the italic part with me as we go through it. That'd be awesome if we think we could do that as a church. I'll read the verse and you read, His love endures forever. So it goes like this. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, His love endures forever. Who by His understanding made the heavens, His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, His love endures forever. Who made the great lights, His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, His love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the night, His love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, His love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, His love endures forever. And they would just give thanks to God for, you know, God, thank you for bringing us out of Egypt. It was really a testimony service that they would just begin to praise God for what He had done in their life. They were at the end of the Passover and they would say, tell God what, you know, just tell Him what He's done for you. You know, like, you know, God, thank you for saving me. His love endures forever. And they would just praise God. Some passages say that they sang a hymn, and it's because they were at that cup of praise. Just that part of the Passover Seder where they were just praising God for who He was and that His love would never fail them and it would endure forever. So I begin to think about that. What does that mean for us today? Listen, 1 Corinthians 5:7 says this. It says, get rid of the old yeast, get rid of that sin, so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sanctified. And I begin to understand and really begin to make this personal to me that this is not just about bread and a cup. This is not about Egypt. It's not about the Ten Commandments. It's not about the death angel. It's about the fact that God always intended these stories that we read in the Bible, you know, not to just be stories that we celebrate because someone else had these stories. I mean, you think about David and Goliath and Peter walking on water, and those are great. But I don't think God just wanted us to celebrate their stories. I think God always intended us to have our stories, for those stories to be our stories, and for those experiences of God to be your experiences. Jesus says, I've come not so that you just can celebrate something that happened 3,000 years ago. That's not what this is all about. But I've come to be the Passover in your life. He's come to be the Passover in my life. And so these four cups that they go through, they're not about the children of Israel and Egypt. But these four cups, I begin to discover, really are about you and about me. And these four cups represent the process that God wants to bring us through. And it's amazing when you begin to understand that. You begin to understand what these cups really mean for you and for me. And so if you'll let me this morning, I want to try to, maybe through this serving of the Lord's Supper, to maybe help you to get up close and personal with your God this morning so that you can not only just talk about and celebrate a Passover, but so that you can experience it. God wants to fulfill these four cups, these four I will promises in your life and in my life. So let me read Exodus 6 one more time and just kind of pick out those four I will statements, four I will promises. It says, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. The first I will statement and promise is this, is that I am the Lord, and I will bring you out. I will bring you out. The first thing that God wants to do with you is to get you out of that bad place, that place where you are separated from Him because of your sin, out from under the yoke of Egypt. And some of you, as I said, or maybe you're in Egypt today. You're totally separated from your God. And listen, you can go to church, you can be baptized, and you can still be in Egypt. I've seen many people who get good at church, but go right back to Egypt every Monday. And some of you maybe are there. You know the song and the dance, but you live in Egypt. And you would say this morning, Monty, I know that I'm in a bad place. Well, listen, before you can come to this table of the Lord, before you can come to communion this morning, you need to get that right. Your relationship, He wants to be in relationship with you. You need to allow Him to bring you to that place where you understand what He did for you, what Jesus did for you on the cross through His death, burial, and resurrection, and receive Him into your heart as your Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat and drink, eat of the bread and drink from the cup. To examine and really begin to see if your heart is still in Egypt. And allow God to bring you out of that place and into a forever relationship with Him. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And then verse 17 says, therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So I'm encouraging you today, if you've never been saved, if you've never received Him into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you need to take that first cup and get out of that place of separation from your God. Now, I realize that most of us in this room, we've gotten out of that place. We have a personal relationship with our God. But maybe we're still acting like a slave. I mean, if we're really honest with each other, we're saved, but our sins still call the shots in our lives. Our attitude begins to take over. Our lust, our temptations take over. If we're honest, we would say sin still rules us. I mean, are we believers? Yes, but we need deliverance. We need deliverance. We need the second cup, the second I will promise. And He says, I will free you from being slaves. So that is the promise of setting us free, that He will set me free. God wants to free us from the bondage of sin. Whatever is kind of holding on to you, whatever you can't seem to get rid of, God says, hey, I want to set you free from that so that you can really live, so that you can really thrive in the life that I've called you to. I want to set you free. I want to set you free today. God, Paul in Romans, is writing a letter to the Romans, to the believers in Rome, and in chapter 7, it's the chapter of confession. And then in chapter 8, he says this, Romans 8:1-2. He says, therefore, since you are a follower of Christ now, he says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. God wants to set us free. And that's what the second cup is all about. You are saved, but you need to let God free you from that sin that kind of has hold on you and has you in bondage. And I think the best way to get rid of any sin is to be honest and to come clean. To be accountable to someone. And maybe, you know, for you that would be your life group, or for just another person that you feel comfortable with that's kind of trying to live out their life and live out their faith and in right relationship with God. To be accountable to them and just to come and confess and come clean with them. Say, hey, I'm really struggling with this. And together begin to ask God to forgive you and set you free. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What I love about my God is He says there is no condemnation. So you're here today and you're saved, but maybe your sin is still calling the shots. And if you're struggling with any sin habits, this promise from God says, be free today in Jesus' name. God's desire is not just to get you out, or it's not just to set you free, but He wants to bring you back to your original purpose. He says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. He wants to redeem me. You know, I begin to think, wow, this is personal to me and to you. That He wants to redeem us. This is really the cup of communion. To set us apart, you know, back to our unique purpose that He has just for you and just for me. To get saved and to get rid of our sin and to get reconnected with your purpose. And maybe some of you are here this morning and you're bored with your relationship with God. You know, God came to set you free and get you out so that He could fulfill His purpose in your life. Not so that you could live this boring, you know, just stagnant relationship with Him. To give you a life that is full and meaningful and that has purpose. To reconnect you to your destiny. To the reason that He made you, created you. I've said before, there's nothing like knowing you're making a difference for God with your life. Knowing that you are connected with your passions and with your purpose that He has created you for. You get so excited about that and so passionate about living your life for Him that at the end of the day, you kind of lay down and say, now that's how you live a day right there. That's how you live a day for God. To get to that place where every night when you lay your head down, you're going, yes, God, thank you for using me today, for helping me to live out my passion for you. Living out my faith in a way that makes a difference for you. And so I think many of us are stuck in the second cup. And you've never gone to this place of calling in your life to fulfill God's original purpose for you. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? So that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Listen, He's calling you to be light in this world that is so dark, darker than probably it's ever been. He's called each one of us as followers of Christ to be light. And this is what I believe. I believe this is the best time ever in history to be the church. It's the best time, you know, to be the church, to love the least, to give hope to the hopeless. It's the best time to begin to share Christ with the world. It's the best time ever in history for us to really begin to live out our faith. And you need to get excited about that and be passionate about that and say, God, how can I do that? I mean, I that's why I get so excited about our facility over there. You know, it's not just a building, but it's going to continue to be a place where we can come alongside students and children and families and help them grow in their relationship with God to really begin to live out God's purpose for their life. To really begin to see change and to see marriages redeemed and students grow up to be unbelievable moms who are living out their faith. And, you know, students that are going to go off and to be lawyers and doctors and teachers and ministers and on the mission field, living out their purpose for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Easter, I think, is the greatest opportunity for us to be that light. Because I believe people are looking for the light that you have. Listen, there's a call on your life, and you'll never be happy until you drink from the third cup of redemption. And then the last cup. My favorite cup is the cup of praise. It's a celebration. It's really celebrating the first three, right? It's saying, yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I get to be a follower of yours, that I'm a child of Christ, that I am one of the redeemed. He says, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God. And what that says to me personally is this, that God will love me forever, and that I will be his child, and that I will be redeemed, and he will be my God. We have this relationship forever. And so we need all four of these cups and all four of these promises. And we begin to go through those. We begin to understand just how crazy his love is for us. And we will love him. And we will love his church. And we will love to worship him. We will get to that place at the end of the service and we go, instead of, wow, that was really long, Monty, we will say, wow, is it over already? Is it over already? And there'll be a desire that as you walk out of a church, that the only thing you didn't like about the church, this church, is that it takes a whole week before you get to come back here and worship your God. And you begin to just praise him for who he is and for his crazy love. We love him and begin to love serving him and begin to love sharing his love with other people. And we say, wow, wow, wow. Can you believe God just did? His love endures forever. And it won't even matter what's going on around us. It won't matter how bad the circumstances are or how good the circumstance. It won't matter because we know that we serve a God who loves us forever. And I'm telling you, those that have the fourth cup can stand in the face of anything this world can dish out and still say, his love endures forever. So listen, God wants you out. He wants you to be in relationship with him because he understands it stinks to be out of relationship with your Creator. And so he wants you to step into that relationship, that forever personal relationship. And for some of us, we're out, but we are still tied in bondage to some sin habits. And God says, hey, listen, that's not good enough. I want to set you free. I want to set you free from that stuff. Whatever it takes, whoever it takes, allow me to set you free. And he says, hey, I got a purpose for you. And so I need you to come into a relationship with me. I need you to be free from those sin habits so that I can begin to redeem you and begin to fulfill my purpose and my calling in your life to make a difference for him. So that you can say, wow, worshiping my God is not just something I do on Sunday. It's something I do every day of my life. I love my relationship with God, because his love for me and his love for others endures forever. And that's the greatest news that we can share with those around us. That's how we are light to a world that lives in darkness. And so before we come to this table, the worship team's going to come up and they're just going to sing a song of worship. And I want you just to spend a few moments as they are singing, doing what 1 Corinthians says, just examining your heart to allow God to begin to speak into you or to continue to speak into you and to see what cup you are at. Well, are you there at that first cup where you've never received him as Lord and Savior? Maybe the second cup, you're struggling with some sin habits, some stuff, some junk, some issues in your life that you need freedom from. Or maybe you just need him to redeem you back to your original purpose that he created you for, so that you can praise him with the way that you live your life. And so as they sing, you just in an attitude of prayer, allow God to examine your heart so that you are ready come to this table.
We'll start on the outside, the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. Just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us, and he said, come to the table, come join the sinners who have been redeemed, take your place beside the Savior, sent out and be set free, come to the table. This motley crew of misfits, these liars and these thieves, there's no one unwelcome here. So that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door. Let mercy draw you in. Come to sinners, you have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Come to the table. To the safe and to the doubter, to the hero and the coward, to the prisoner and the soldier, to the young and to the older.
All the hunger, all the thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who failed, you've been forgiven.
All who dreamed and all who suffered, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who followed only.
Anyone who've been let down, all the lost you have been found, all who've been labeled right or wrong, to everyone who hears this song.
Come to the table. Sinners, you have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free.
Sit down and be set free.
Come to the table.
Come to the table.
Come to the table.